So, Baha'u'llah has actually got quite a lot of topics in it. If we want to go through all of them, we actually have spent quite a few hours. I'm not going to put you all to sleep. I'll try my best not to anyway. So we're going to skip straight away to the middle of the parasha. The parasha actually starts off with the Kedusha Salavim and the Chanukah Salavim, what Moshe did to the Levim to be Mekadosh to the Levim, to do that Tanuch on the Levim. And then it starts talking about the parasha of Pesach Sheni, and then it starts talking about how Klal Yisrael used to travel. And our traveling in the Midbar was directed by the Onan HaKovet. There was an Onan of Hashem, which used to direct us by day, and there was a Mari Eish Baloilah, there was a sort of pillar of fire, which used to direct us by in the evening, in the night really, and we used to be directed by that. When that used to travel, we used to travel on Eish HaTov, we would stop. Now, the Torah goes through, when it's describing this, it's very interesting, the Torah goes through it quite at length. It says, the day the Mishkan was set up, there was a cloud that settled the top of the Eil HaIdus. In the evening year, Mishkan, there was a flame-like pillar until the morning. Ken Yetomi, this was the way it was always. The Ha'aman Yechaisen was on the cloud, used to cover it. Mariyesh Loila, and there was a flaming pillar at night. And according to that which the oil got raised up, that was the way we used to travel. And we came back to Yishkan Shom, and where the oil used to settle down, that's where we used to camp. Okay, Hashem Yishkan, according to what Hashem said, that's where we used to camp, that's where we used to sit. And when the oil used to stand by the Yishkan many days, it used to settle there. Bnei Yisrael used to keep the Mishmar of Hashem. The Lo Yisrael, and they wouldn't travel. The Yesh, and there was times, Asher Yeh Onlan Yom Yisrael on the Mishkan, when the Onlan was a few days on the Mishkan, Al-Pi Hashem Yachan V'Al-Pi Hashem Yisrael, according to what Hashem said, they would camp, and according to what Hashem said, they would go. The Yesh, and there were times, Asher Yeh Onlan Me'er V'Al-Boyker, would be there from evening till morning, V'Na'aloh Ha'Onlan V'Al-Boyker, the morning the cloud used to rise up in the morning, The Nasu used to travel. Oh yeah, Mavol Aylo was there for a day and a night. Vinale Honlon was so. Oh yeah, Mayim, or 2 days, or Chodesh, or a month, or Yomim, or a year, and so on and so forth. It goes back and forth and back and forth. This amount of days, that amount of days. Why is the Torah being so marish about what happens? It can be one pasuk. Kal Yisrael used to travel with Onon. When Onon used to rise up, they used to travel, and Onon used to settle, they used to camp. Because they tell us days, months, years. So the Ramban already points out, and the Al-Shaf says the same in two of the other portion, is that there's a tremendous shvach to Klal Yisrael here. You can imagine the Klal Yisrael traveling in the Midbar. Now, when you take a family and you send them through the desert, even for half an hour, you can imagine the exhaustion, the troubles, and you finally come to a place where you can settle. There's beautiful trees, there's an oasis, it's a lovely place to think and think, oh, you settle down, the kids go for a swim, you take off your things, and you go to sleep early that night so you can enjoy the next day. As you wake up in the morning, you get out of your tent and you see this Onan rising up. Gvat! Pack up everything, let's go. So you travel on to the next place. And you come to the next place. They had to put out the Mizbeach, the Mishkan, they had to settle up everything. We're actually going to get that point. The next piece. So they used to, and you can imagine they come to the next place, and it's not such a geschmack place. It's not even sand, which is smooth. There's rocks, no water, the head and covered, but still, it's not a geschmack place. There's a mountain there which keeps them blocking the sunlight, so you don't even have sunlight during the day, so it's not so geschmack. So you thought, okay, we'll just settle here for the night. You know, we'll be traveling tomorrow morning. So you wake up in the morning, all your things are still packed, and you see that the cloud has not moved yet. Okay, so maybe tomorrow we'll leave. Let's not unpack the stuff just yet. And you end up flapping there, you keep everything packed up, and eventually after that you unpack your stuff, and boom, the next morning the alarm rises up and you have to travel. And it can be very, very frustrating, because you never know what's going to happen. I feel after 40 years in the desert, 42 masois, not one word of complaint about the traveling. Kadosh went it and accepted the Ahava. And so much so, the Sfona says that the Pasuk is actually pointing out five different Shvachim to Kadosh Shvach. Five different Shvachim to Kadosh Shvach. When Kodesh Shvach Yishkan Shvach Malon Shvach Yachanu. Wherever the crowd settled, that's where Kadosh Shvach used to wait. And the Sfona says that the Shvach of Kadosh Shvach, that they went into the Midbar without any questions. The first time they went to the Midbar, they followed the cloud, no questions asked. The tremendous Shvach, Lechtecha Harai Bamidbar. And then it says, Rishon Rebnei Shalos Meshmeres Hashem, it's the second schus. They used to wait even for the long time, as we mentioned, even if it wasn't such a nice place. The third thing is that it was a nice place, and it was only a few days there, and had to travel on. And the fourth Shvach was, overnight, from the evening to the night. And they didn't know what they're going to do. And then they had to travel. And the fifth Shvach is that when they had to get up, they just had to get up. They didn't know in the month in advance, day in advance, they were going to travel. Suddenly, you see the Arnon, they had to give a massive rush to pack up everything. Never there was one word complaint. That's the Shvach of the Chayyishah. Now, what you mentioned before about the Mishkan. Now, we know that the Melechas Shabbos all comes from Melechas HaMishkan. Right? So where was Binyan in the Mishkan? He used to set up in the Krashim, right? He had the Adonim, and he used to set up the Krashim, put the Krashim into the Adonim, put the poles in, and that was your Mishkan. So, the Gemara asks, the Yerushalmi asks the question like this. Was it for a short while? Usually, Melech HaShabbos, when you do Melech HaShabbos, it has to be Miskayim. If you write a Ksav Shein Miskayim, you write a writing which is not going to last, it's only the Rabbanim. Now, when Kol Yisrael set up the Mishkan, it was only till the next time they traveled. So, wasn't that called Binyan Ashor? It's a short amount, it's a short building, it's only going to last for a short while. So, Yisrael makes two tributes.
You don't know if it's a short.
Sorry?
You don't know up front. You cannot say it may end up short, but you don't know up front.
Correct. That's an excellent answer. So, there's an excellent answer. So, that's actually one of the tributes in Yisrael. Rav Yossi says, Mekaven show you chayim relation of the Adibur. They were camping and traveling according to the people, according to what Hashem said. Kamisha hilaylo, it's as if it was permanently. So there's a few ways you can learn that answer. The Yerushalmi, you can learn the answer like you were saying, that they were building for the maximum amount of time. Or you can learn the Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi is saying that the virgin told you to camp. That's it. You're camping now. You don't look further. What's going to happen next? The etzim is prison. Look, the virgin told me now to camp. So I'm camping. The virgin told me now to go. I'm going. Till the virgin tells me to stop. So whatever situation they were in was a permanent state. The second terence is Omer Rabbi Yossi bar Rabbi Bun. Mekeven shevtichon HaKadosh Baruch Hu shemachnisan la'aretz, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu promised that he would take them into the land of Israel. Kamishu l'shom, you're right, it's only temporarily, because we knew the Benjamin was leaving us in Eretz Israel. Hadar Omra, so from this you see that binyan l'shom binyan, if you build a building temporarily, it's easier than binyan l'shabbos. So the Aruch HaShulchan comes out an interesting thing. It says that if you look at all the psukim, what's the shortest time period that we count for? Sorry? Even less. The first one we see is Yomim Rabbi, many days. V'arich Anon, V'yesh Asher Yeh Anon Yomim Mishpor, a few days. V'yesh Asher Yeh Anon Me'erev Adbaika. So from evening till night. From, sorry, evening till morning. Half a day. Oyemayim, or 2 days. Or a month. Or a year. So the Ohr Shulchan points out, he says, Mistom, when it came in the evening, they did put up the Mishpor. Not there to put on the mission. Also, there's no korbanos with water at night, so they would only put it in the next morning. So even if they camped in the evening and they traveled the next morning, they never got to put up the mishkan. So what's the shortest? It doesn't say that they would travel. It doesn't say that they would travel overnight and then camp in the morning and leave at night. That it doesn't say in the pasuk. The next time period after this is to do this. It says that on Hashulchan, anything less than a day is not even called binyan l'shah. Because we don't find them in the Mishkan. They never built the Mishkan for less than a day. So even if you call the Mishkan Binyan Ashar, less than a day doesn't count. It's a nice point in the parasha.
How long does it take?
Sorry?
How long do you take to build the Mishkan? And to use the stage?
Well,
if it was a
1-day stage. It couldn't have been a 1-day stage, because we know that Moshe Rabbeinu in the Yemei Miluim took down the Mishkan every evening and put it back up every morning.
Right, good.
Sorry?
By himself.
By himself, yes. every evening and every morning, we'll put up Nivea Milur.
The Mishkan,
and Nivea Milur, the Shmeres Nivea Milur, Moshe Rabbeinu had to put it down. Sorry?
That wasn't necessarily Dar HaTeva. The rest of the time was Dar HaTeva, wasn't it?
How much does a tree trunk, which is 1.5 amas by 1 amma, which is solid wood, weigh? 10 amas tall. You don't want that to fall on yourself.
Yeah.
I know. And two levim picked them up. Picked it up.
So it's also on the mesa.
Chaya, yeah.
Sorry? Lots of crashing,
Adanim,
and all
the... Yeah, it's a lot of, You think about how much the Mishkan used to say. The Mishkan itself was a whole thing of Ines. The Etzim, the Orim, was such pure gold, it should have collapsed in on itself. No way that the Kapiris and the Krukim could hold themselves. It was fine, pure gold, very, very pliable and soft. It shouldn't have been able to hold itself. It should have collapsed in on itself. So the whole
thing... Why do
you know what is in the middle? No, the Kapiris. The comparison is much more thick and solid. Gold is very, very soft. Gold is very soft. The purer it gets, the softer it gets. And the krugim were tall, and they had the wings, and the comparison itself was pepach thick. And if you take that much solid gold, it's not going to last very long.
It's
huh? Yeah. It's all happiness. All happiness. Very, very heavy. Gold is very heavy.
It was a mess.
That's right, isn't it?
It's 5
meters. So, after this parasha, it talks about the chasetzeres, and then we speak to a parasha which is, eventually we get the parasha which is not so happy. The parasha is not just good news, but Klal Yisrael, but he onkins anyway. Klal Yisrael complained about the mon. About the mon, about everything. It was a complaint procedure. And they were complaining, and it said that by Yishmam, Yishes, and Om, Moshe heard that Klal Yisrael, each one was complaining to his family. Zafrashi, Rabbi Seim Omru, Chazal taught us, Le Mishpachosav al Iske Mishpachos, on family matters. Al Ho'arayas, Shanesorislav, on Arayas, which they were forbidden to take. The first time I saw this Rashi, I was very, very surprised. This parsha took place about a year after Matan Torah. This is about a year. After the first Masa. It was a year after Matan Torah. Why are they remembering now, a year after Matan Torah, to complain about their rights? What happened till then? Before we answer, let me read you out the Rambam. The Rambam at the end of Yisurah Yibiyah says like this. Ein mechadomu b'chal ha-Torah kula shu kosher l'roiv ha'om lifrosh elo min ha-rayas. The most difficult mitzvah for people is arayas. Rambam related in Arizona says arayas, and it's avak lo shemara and gezel. Those are the three types of arayas.
Okay, so
Tishnik
says the
mutin,
the arayas.
Huh?
Only few.
The Rambam says rovon. That's the rovon. Refresh min arayas by bias asuras. It's very tough. Omer chachomim, Chazal says, v'shor shem mitzvah v'yisrael, when Chazal and Klal Yisrael were commanded ala harayas, Bachu, they cried. The kiblu mitzvah, and they accepted this mitzvah with arumis, with complaints, with a chiyah, and with crying. Shunema, boichel mishpachosov, al isfigeri mishpachos. The Rambam is repeating himself. Vishoshu mitzvah yishrava adorais, Bachu, they cried. The kiblu mitzvah, with arumis, with a chiyah. And they cried. Why is he repeating himself? Let's get back to Rashi. It seems the Chachamim explained to Rashi, he asked this question, why were they crying now? What happened? So Sister Chachamim says, till now, the whole crowd's big power of Klal Yisrael camps was Balagam. You can't get out of there. So there's many women around, and there was no Nisoyan there, some of our royals. As soon as Klal Yisrael was separated into camps and families, so in his tent was his sisters, and the next four tents was his aunts, so the only women who he was surrounded with were all our royals. It suddenly came to the fore. The Rambam says in the beginning of Hilchos Teshuvah, what's the Baal Teshuvah Gemura? How would you define a Baal Teshuvah Gemura? That's the person who was nichshal with a woman, and he still loves that woman, and he finds himself with the same koyach, and the same medina, and the same avon, and he's misgovern himself, that's the Baal Teshuvah Gemura. When a person is faced with a test, that's when you can define on how strong he is, and how willing he is to accept it, and how much he's completed in his mind, and how much he's got a gemurah stats about how he's not going to be over the avodah. Klal Yisrael were commanded about the mitzvah of arayah from Matan Torah, and they cried it was hard on avodah. They knew it was going to be hard on avodah. When was the proper kabbalah of the mitzvah? The proper kabbalah of the mitzvah was when they had been yisrael. So v'shashen istabi yisrael arayah bachul, they cried. The kibbul mitzvah, when did they do a kabbalah mitzvah? When the Degolim was set out, and when they had the Nisoyan, then they cried again. That was when the proper Kabbalah happened. That's Pshat and Rashi, that's when they cried now. After this, after they cried, so Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Bnei Shalom with Tanya. He said, it's changed. It's too hard for me. You've made me the leader of Klal Yisrael, and they come to me complaining with all the difficulties. I can't, it's too much for me. The Rav Zalman Sarovskin, Lutzkerov, I was in the Torah, he points out an interesting thing. He said, whenever you find generally in the world, when there's a person, one person who rules the country, and the people also want representation, they also want a parliament. So what do? There's a revolution, which is usually accompanied by bloodshed. He said, you've never seen in the world that when the country needs representation, that the king comes pleading to the person who's appointed as king, I need some help. I don't want to be the sole independent ruler. I don't want to be the dictator. I want there should be a parliament here to help me along. You see, it's because the difference between a melech of Klal Yisrael and a melech of Ruach Haolam is so fundamental, so different. A melech of Klal Yisrael is an eved of Avdei Hashem. It's an avdus, it's an oil. And when the melech couldn't handle that oil, so he needed help to bring him to take him along the load. A melech of Ruach Haolam is gevaldik. He's got a whole country serving him, doing his personal needs. There's no way he's going to let that up so easily. Now, the Rebbeinu Shlomo said to him, you're finding it too difficult? So take with you 70 people. Esfoli, Shivit, Nishmi, Zikne, Yisroi. What were these 70 people there to help Moshe with? So, we're going to go back a few weeks to Parshas Yisro. In Parshas Yisro, we saw that Yisro came to visit Moshe Rabbeinu, and he saw that the Klal Yisrael was standing on Moshe, standing by Moshe, and Moshe had a So Yisro said, what's your job description? What are your obligations exactly? Your duties? So Moshe said, two psukim. Ki yavoy elai ha'om lidrash alekim. The nation comes to me to ask about the Ribbono Shel Olam, to ask after the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ki yalei davar ba'elai, when they have something they come to me, v'shafatzi, and I judge them, ben yishu ben yireyu. V'yidati, and I let them know, stokei elo yekim v'esteri sof. V'chukim and the Torahs. What are these three, there's better three things here. There's, ki yavoy elai ha'om, lidrash alekim. First thing is lidrash alekim. The second thing is v'shafatzi. A judge. The third thing is Vahidakis, okay, Alekim Esperitzah. I heard from Chaim Ezegubitz that what are these three things? I can't remember who he said earlier from. Lidroi Shalekim is I give them Musa. I teach them how they can become better Yidden. Musa, Tikkun Amidus. Chutzun Dem, Ki Yelem Dovor Goyla, V'shafatit. And most of the shaykh and the judge. They come to me the dinner table. The third thing is Vaidatis Kokeh Alekim Ester Yisrael. Teach them. So three jobs. He was a mashgiach. He was a dayan. And he was a rabbi, forever. Teach them the Torah. So Yisrael said to me, it's too few. It's too much for you. He said, Lidra Shalekim, to give them Musa, we need to understand the person. And Moshe was a person, Shayyad Al-Rechach Negev Kol Rach Marach. He knew how to understand people. He had a Havana and a Benishlam, and a Benishlam had to understand people. So he said, that's key for yourself. Leave your Shalakim, you should do yourself. Jafatati, appoint Dayanon. And to teach Torah as well, you should point, you should delegate it. Now he delegated to Yeshua, to Aaron, and Moshe, to Canaan. Moshe Rabbeinu was left with one job, to give Musa. Over here, in this passage, the Benishlam says, I can't. It's too much for me. What was the problem? We look in Pashas Dvarim, It says, "Echo esod abadit hachachem u'masa achem ve'rivchem." Masa achem. Rashi explains that when Moshe got up early, they used to say, "Why is he leaving early? When he's come late, why are you leaving late?" He couldn't give them musa because when you give a person musa, he says straight away, "What are you giving me musa for? Fuck, you've got this problem, this problem, this problem, this problem. You're also a mush for someone novel. You also don't have good midas." So if a person wants to accept musa from someone else, yes, he has to not fight friends and get back against them. Every time Moshe Rabbeinu was saying musa to people, they were fighting back against him. It was too much. So thus, it can't finish. So Rabbeinu Shalom said, "You know what? I'll give you a team of mashgichim, unter mashgichim, mashgiach chokmah. 70 people. They're going to help you. They don't know what is each person's midah. Fine, you'll be the overseer, you'll be the educator, and you'll tell them what's wrong with this one, what's wrong with that one, and they'll help you give musa." But Lamai is also going to help. If someone's not willing to accept musa, so Moshe Rabbeinu is telling him musa, you've got to get after chakras, you've got to stop talking lashon hara. So the 70 people who are less than Moshe Rabbeinu, he's going to listen to them. Make a pesach. We see here what the koach of a rabbi is. If one person tells you what you're doing, Tadnish, what you're doing is not fitting, it's not right for what you should, not right for who you are, strike him off. Who are you to tell me? If two of my friends come along and tell me, you know, you should really think about what you're about to do, this and that. When I've got 70 people telling me, you know, you're doing something wrong, that I already have to listen. Any mitzvah which a person wants to be mischazakim, an inyan, a midah, when he sees that there's a rabbi after him, there's a rabbi behind him, when there's this oris of the rabbi for Shmiras Haloshim, there's this oris of the rabbi for davening b'tzibur, when he sees that there's something which is choshev for a rabbi, that's a much more powerful Muslim than Muslim from one person. So Rabbi Nishan said, "I'll give you a team of mashkichim." A team of mashkichim, that's going to do the job. That will help you along. And the Maisa, well, this all went 40 years in the Midrash. The children of Canaan, they helped them along. Right, have a lovely Shabbos.